gifts of grace, which we've been doing in the evenings, which we're looking at the spiritual gifts that God pours out on his church. And I don't know how you've been finding this series. If you've not managed to hear them all, then check them out on the website. They're definitely worth listening to. But I personally have found these amazing. Just having that extra time in an evening service, as we just did, to just rest and just listen to God's Holy Spirit and let him do whatever he wants. It's been really good for me, and I hope it's been good for you as well. And if you're listening to this on the podcast and you haven't been, then be here. So tonight we're carrying on our Gifts of Grace series, and tonight we're looking at the gift of service. And I've got to be honest, I've struggled with this a little bit. Monday morning, I thought I'd hit this early, really get into grips with it, and poor Joff, right, for about an hour and a half, every 5 minutes, I was in his office going, I don't understand! And he was very patient and very much helped me get through it. But the thing I struggled with when it came to this idea that the gift of service is I couldn't get my head around how this is a gift. Because for me, it was like, surely service is a discipline. It's something we do. It's something we take. It's not a gift. And the kind of key to unlocking my kind of thinking of it and understanding how it was a gift was something that actually Geoff mentioned in his pastoral care one. It's the idea that when we look at these gifts of grace, we need to look at generic and specific. And what I mean by that, the best way to understand it was in the context that Geoff used it last time, in his pastoral care sermon about gifts of grace. There's all of us are called and gifted to care for our neighbour. You know, we're all gifted in care. That's the generic. But there are some who are deeply gifted in pastoral care, whose calling it is to just do pastoral care. And the same is true of hospitality. You know, all of us are called and gifted to be hospitable, to invite the stranger in, to invite our friends in. But there are some people who are just brilliant at it, who are just totally gifted in being hospitable, Linda and Simon. And that is the key for me to unlocking this thing of service. We are all gifted and called to serve, but there are some who are kind of, this gift is lavished upon them. And I want to argue that we should all be so lucky. Let's turn to Romans 12 with that kind of in mind. If you go to Romans 12, I haven't briefed anyone on the screens, so I would suggest you get your Bibles out. Show off. Romans 12, 6, we're looking at. And we're looking at 6 to 8. We all have different gifts. Each one came because of the grace God gave us. The person who has the gift of prophecy should use that gift in agreement with the faith. Anyone who has the gift of serving should serve. Anyone who has the gift of teaching should teach. Whoever has the gift of encouraging others should encourage. Whoever has the gift of giving to others should give freely. Anyone who has the gift of being a leader should try hard when he leads. And whoever has the gift of showing mercy to others should do so with joy. The words that Paul uses there as he writes serving and serve is the word diakonos or diakonia. I know, I looked up the Greek. that was Geoff's idea. Yes, it is, and it's the word that we then take deacons from, which I'd love to go into, but I'm not going to, so I'll let you ponder on that one. But it is that word serving, service. And as we look at these gifts, maybe it's just me, but do you sometimes approach the spiritual gifts in what you know is the wrong way and approach them kind of as a menu? And you kind of look and you go, oh yeah, God, can I have a bit of that one and a bit of that one? And then you get to service and you're like, no, I'm all right. It seems to be the undesired gift. When you look at that list of all those gifts, you kind of look at that, well, I don't know about you, but I certainly look and go, oh, don't give me the gift of serving. Like of all the others seem so much better. And it may just be me, and you may all be most majorly holy, and I'm just rubbish. But when Paul would have been saying this into the Greek culture, this idea of serving, I mean, diakonos literally means to wait on tables. This waiting on tables would have been alien to the Greek culture listening to it. You know, the idea that a free man was to wait on tables, subject himself to somebody else, was just insane. That's what servants did. That's what the indentured slaves did. Not a free man, because in Greek culture, the height of what you should be doing, the height of your goal was to develop your personality. And so to put yourself in service of somebody else, to wait on tables deliberately when you had no need to, was just alien. And I'd love to think that our culture is kind of different, but from my reading and my looking at it, I did the same thing. I don't want to do that. That's kind of beneath me. And I don't believe our culture is that different. Do you remember a few years ago when, unfortunately, we had a lot of young people rioting across the country? Do you remember that? All started in London and all sorts of things, and it was a very difficult time trying to defend young people because the media was really demonising them. I won't go into all that. But one thing that happened out of that was the government spent some time looking at what caused this. How did this happen? And yes, there was some racial tensions. Yes, there was some class tensions. But one of the things they focused on and then set to work sorting out in primary schools was they realised that we have been teaching children for years about their rights, but not about their responsibilities. And that is, I think, where we fall into sometimes. We know our rights, we know what we should want, what we should get, but we forget about our responsibilities. And the truth is that it's times when our opinion of ourselves is high and our love for Jesus is small that we don't value the gift of service. As hard as that is to hear, it is the undesired gift, because so often we think too much of ourselves and our love for God is not high enough. So I'm arguing it's the undesired gift, but I'm going to ask us tonight, pray that you would be filled with this gift. Of all of them, pray that you would be filled with the gift of service. Turn it from the undesired gift into the desired gift. Pray that you might have this. But I warn you, if you pray and desire this gift and it is lavished upon you, which we hope it will be, know that it is the unnoticed gift. It is the underappreciated gift, or perhaps even the gift of the underappreciated. Those who have it in abundance are often the ones who are overlooked. You know, I think, looking around, I could name some people in here that I feel that have been gifted, truly gifted in service. But I won't. I won't name them, because the wonderful thing is they won't want me to. That's the beauty of this gift. Isn't that, it's just beautiful, isn't it? That these people who are gifted in service, they don't want recognition. It is the gift that is unnoticed, underappreciated. We should rejoice in his secrecy. I want to read a quote. It's quite a long one, I'll be fair, from Spurgeon, kind of about this thing. Now, if I could have written this, I wouldn't read the quote. All right, but I wanted to try and paraphrase it, but I just couldn't, so I'm just going to read it. Ah, that's how it starts. Ah, what Jesus must think of us when he remembers his own love. Was there ever such a contrast between his furnace seven times hotter and our iceberg spirits? He did not spare himself, and we are always sparing ourselves. He gives us everything and hangs naked on a cross. We keep almost everything to ourselves and count self-sacrifice as hard. He continued to preach on, notwithstanding what evil men said and did to him. But we take offense and quit our work because we are not as appreciated as we should be. Brothers and sisters, if being doormats for Christ, for all the church to wipe their feet on, would honor him, we ought to think it a great glory to be so used. Among genuine Christians, the contention is for the lowest place. Among the sham Christians, the controversy for the highest position. This gift of service, we should rejoice in its secrecy. We should be aiming for the lowest position, to serve, be the servant of all. And just thank God when we don't get noticed. It is the unnoticed gift. If we turn to Matthew 6, see how quickly Steve manages this. We turn to Matthew 6. We're looking at verses 1 to 4. I have no idea what page breaks. Depends what Bible you're in. Matthew 6. Here we go. Brilliant. Be careful when you do good things. Don't do them in front of people to be seen by them. If you do that, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to the poor, don't be like the hypocrites. They blow trumpets in the synagogues and on the streets so that people will see them and honor them. I tell you the truth. Those hypocrites already have their full reward. So when you give to the poor, don't let anyone know what you are doing. Your giving should be done in secret. Your Father can see what is done in secret, and he will reward you. Your gift of service is an unnoticed gift. And yeah, thank God for that. It is the gift that when we do it, when God pours it out upon us and we act upon his Spirit moving us, and it doesn't get noticed. It is unnoticed by humankind, but it is noticed by him. And he surely is the one that we want approval from. How much better is the approval of God than the approval of man? I don't know about the NIV, but certainly in the King James Version, it says in verse 3, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Not only is this meant to be a gift that is unnoticed by the world, and by the church and by each other, it's meant to be unnoticed by us. It's a gift that we're not even meant to know that we really have, but is poured out upon us for the good of the church and for the good of the world. Our left hand doesn't even know what our right hand is doing. How do you get there? How do you get to the place of not even knowing you've been given a gift like this? As I was thinking about this, I was looking at The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, because this is, like, he does a big thing about this. And as I was reading it, I was thinking, well, surely, you know, when it comes to this, how do you get to this place of unnoticed gifting? I thought, well, surely you just fake it till you make it. You know, you just sort of like serve until you've forgotten why you're serving. But actually, he pointed out, it was the precise opposite. The precise opposite. We don't serve until we forget why we're serving. Instead, we forget what we're doing. And we remember who we're doing it for. That's how we get to this place where the gift of service is lavished upon us and we don't even realize, is when we just remember not what it is we're doing in front of us, but who we're doing it for. He goes on to say that the genuine work of love is always a hidden work. Because it's not about you. It's not about the praise that you will receive for it. The genuine work of love is when you do something for someone else and it gives you nothing. But there is something for us. The gift of service is the gift of love. At its very heart. It's that agape. It's that self-sacrifice. It's laying down our need for praise, our need for approval. It's laying down our own needs for others. For the church. For the world. But ultimately, for God. We do it because we remember the divine love that we have been shown and we need to show the rest of the world. It is a gift that is unnoticed by man and hopefully we pray by ourselves. So pray for it, desire it, rejoice when your work goes unnoticed and if you can, forget what you're doing and remember who you're doing it for. It's undesired, it's unnoticed, it's also unavoidable. It's so necessary. If any gift is needed in the church, it's this. If we go to Acts 6, we're looking at verses 1 to 8. Oh, he's so good. The number of followers was growing. But during this time, the Greek-speaking followers had an argument with the other Jewish followers. The Greek-speaking widows were not getting their share of the food that was given out every day. The 12 apostles called the whole group of followers together and said, "It is not right for us to stop our work of teaching God's word in order to serve tables. So, brothers and sisters, choose 7 of your own men who are good, full of the Spirit, and full of wisdom. We will put them in charge of this work. Then we can continue to pray and to teach the word of God." The whole group liked the idea. So they chose these seven men. Stephen, a man with great faith and full of the Holy Spirit. Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a man from Antioch who had become a Jew. Then they put these men before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. The word of God was continuing to spread, and the group of followers in Jerusalem increased, and a great number of Jewish priests believed and obeyed. Stephen was richly blessed by God, who gave him the power to do great miracles and signs among the people. I don't know if you kind of get what's going on there, but the apostles have reached a stage where their current structure no longer fits the work that they're involved in. Before, they were ones that were in charge of giving out the alms, giving out the poor, they're giving out the food and money to the poor widows who needed support. But it got to a stage where the group that followed them now was too large for them to deal with. It starts off with kind of a racial tension between the Greek and the Jewish, but it wasn't a racial thing really. It was just their need had outgrown their structure. And so the apostles needed to rethink. And so they said, we need people to be raised up in this gift of service so we can continue with the gift of preaching. Now, before we go any further, there is nothing in this passage that suggests for a moment that the gift of teaching is somehow superior to the gift of service. In fact, I would suggest that we could look at the reverse, really. That what the apostles are saying is, if we are to continue this teaching, we must have people to serve. If we don't, we're going to have to give up teaching in order to serve. So important is this role of serving that we will have to put aside our teaching in order to do it. It's not that one gift is greater than another, really. It is that these different gifts are given to different people. And so these seven are raised up. And what is their qualification? Is it that they can do signs and wonders? No. It's that they are filled with the Holy Spirit. In this act of service, in this gifting of service, they need to be filled with the Holy Spirit as they serve. And what is the result? What happens as they are raised up into this role of service? What happens? The word of God continued to spread, and the group of followers in Jerusalem increased. This is what happens when the gift of service is poured out. The kingdom grows. This is what the gift of service is all about. It is the edification gift. It is the gift that builds, the gift that binds. You know, when Paul starts to talk about the spiritual gifts, he develops this thought of diakonos and begins to use that word when referencing the spiritual gifts. Because at the heart of it, the spiritual gift of service is the most important. Well, you know what I mean. It is incredibly important because it binds the church together. It is the glue that allows all the gifts of the Spirit to work for God's kingdom. This gift empowers everyone else to do what needs to be done. It is an unnoticed gift, but it is the gift that holds everything together. The gift that builds. The gift that binds. You know, Paul's analogy of or idea that the church is the body of Christ. If that was the case, the gift of service would be the skin, the bones, the ligaments, the things that hold it together. Without the gift of service, there can't be a church. It just can't work. It is the means by which God grows his people, his church. So can I challenge you? If you get the chance to serve, grab it. Grab every opportunity that the Holy Spirit places before you to serve, no matter what it is. Because anything done in that gift of service will grow the church. Whether it's serving at a table, as Stephen was, whether it's serving a cup of coffee, whether it's cleaning a toilet, we do it for him. And when it's done for him, when it's done in the empowering of the Holy Spirit, no action is unnoticed by God. No action is unused by God to build his church. So every opportunity you get, grab it. Put yourself in a position where God can lavish this gift upon you. I want to say one kind of last thing, and then if it's all right, I'll go over what I've said quickly. Even as I say that, and I start to think about seizing every opportunity of service that comes my way, I still think, I'm not cleaning the toilet. And I don't know if that's kind of where you're at. That's probably something really bad within me, because I still have this opinion far too high of myself. But let's have a look at Stephen. Stephen, as we read in verse 8, you might have thought, oh, he's gone a bit too far, because if you're reading in the Bible, it's the next section. But I didn't, I read it deliberately. Stephen was richly blessed by God, who gave him the power to do great miracles and signs among the people. Stephen was an uncommonly gifted man by God. He could do signs and wonders, and yet he doesn't consider it beneath himself to serve the tables, to wait on the tables, as that word diakonos suggests. In fact, he seems that's his ministry. That's his service. He's been faithful with a little, and God has given him more, and yet this is still his service. And of course, it reminds us of another who was gifted in every single spiritual gift, who was himself God in human form, and yet stooped to wash his disciples' feet. There is no too low for us. There shouldn't be. There is no service that should be beneath us, because there is no service beneath our Lord. So if you get the chance, seize it. Put yourself in that position and pray that God would lavish this gift upon you. Rejoice when it goes unnoticed. When anything you do is not noticed by man, rejoice that God saw it. Remember that you're not doing, remember why you're doing it and who you're doing it for, rather than what you're doing. And remember that whatever you do, empowered by the Holy Spirit, nothing is unused by God. All of it can build his kingdom. If you want to build the kingdom here, start by praying for the gift of service. Let's just pray. Jesus, we thank you that there was no limit to your service, that you deigned to become a human being and born in a dirty stable and stooped to wash disciples' feet. We thank you that you were the servant king. And we pray you would make us more like you, that you would lavish upon each of us this gift of service that builds, that binds, that grows your kingdom, that we might see your will done in this world, in this town, that we might see your word spread, that we might see our numbers increase, all because we serve first and foremost. Father, put that heart in us to contend for the lowest position, to rejoice when our work goes unnoticed, to be those who see nothing beneath us as there was nothing beneath you. Fill us, we pray, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, and make us a force in this world that serves. Amen.